May I speak in the name of the holy, living, and undivided Trinity, one God, now and forever. Amen. Good morning. Please be seated. When I spoke with you last time, you may recall it was the second Sunday in Easter, and we were on the road to Emmaus. So I want to pick up where I left off and talk this morning about our congregational life as we journey together on that road. I'll weave the readings in, but I've been clear for weeks, once I was asked to cover this Sunday, that the Spirit is really calling me to talk about us today, our life together as a parish community during this transitional moment in time that St. Benedict's finds itself in. So that's what I'm going to do. For anyone who may be here or joining us online for the first time or who isn't aware, we are, as I just said, in a time of transition here as we search for a new priest or rector. We have had priests filling in for our retired rector, Caro, but today we don't have one, which means we will not be having communion. Rather, we will have the Liturgy of the Word, which consists of the readings we've just heard, the hymns, this sermon, the confession, the peace, and the prayers. And just so no one is confused, the prayers actually refer this morning to Solomon. And Solomon was the other reading, the alternate reading, track two, which we did not do. So it has to do with the wisdom of Solomon, which is a different matter we won't be getting into today, but those are the prayers that we will have. So I look at this as a really important time, actually. We've taken a lot of time to get ready to search for our next rector. We've assessed who we are, where we've been, what our strengths are, what our hopes are, what our needs are, what we would like more of, and what we might like a little less of. And it has helped us to understand more deeply who we are in relation to one another and as the body of Christ. And I believe all of those hopes, aspirations, and everything I just mentioned are actually posted on the wall in the next room if anyone wants to have another look at them. And while we are an outwardly focused parish, often engaged in the needs of the world beyond these walls, I think sometimes we need to take care of ourselves a bit, to put on our own oxygen mask, as it were, before attempting to assist others. So while my sermons are often also focused on interpreting the readings and being attentive to the needs of the world, today I feel a call, as I said, to offer us some pastoral support. So that's what I'm going to try and do. And I believe this period of transition is actually galvanizing us. I find myself over and over interpreting this as a time of opportunity for us to discover or really realize that we are not dependent on clergy in order to do ministry. Our ministries are ongoing, people are stepping up, and we are continuing to gather in this place, in this space, to worship and be energized by and through and in Christ. Yes, it is true, we remain Eucharistically centered, and we do need a priest in order to celebrate the Holy Communion. But then I thought, even the loss of that this morning helps us to understand a little more deeply how central, how important the Eucharist is to our worship. When something becomes rare, scarce, or more difficult to obtain, it does tend to become that much more precious to us, doesn't it? So this is my job, actually. This is what I do in hospice. I transform seemingly sad, difficult times into times of gratitude and deeper awareness and understanding. When a spouse, a child, or a loved one is bereft, we recognize that it's the result of the deep love that was present in that relationship. Now, it may seem strange to think of utter despair or inconsolable grief as a sign I look for when someone is grieving. But in doing so, I've come to understand that it's actually, for many of us, the primary goal in life, the greatest thing that we were ever a part of, to love another person so deeply, or feel the love of someone so deeply, that we're utterly inconsolable when they die. Because the only other option is a love that wasn't so deep. And trust me, I see plenty of that as well. So if ever I ask, would you rather have had it any other way while they were alive? The answer is invariably no. And here's where I can weave in that first reading. Because imagine that you loved someone so deeply as Jacob loved Rachel, and imagine being deceived like that. Think about the depth of that deception and the despair it would cause in the context of our own life. If you're in love with one, but now you find you've been tricked and you're with another, how might that feel? Now there's a Bible study, which is, of course, another ministry. So I'm seeing this time we are in here not as some wayward, barren moment where we are confused and wandering, lost in the desert, and just hoping to get to the next stage, but more as an opportunity to recognize that this time might actually be empowering us as we step up with greater awareness of, and perhaps even take on a greater responsibility for our various ministries, confident that if we do so, St. Benedict's will attract the priest that we are seeking, or perhaps better put, the priest that God is seeking for us, seeking to connect us with. Now, not everyone sees their work as ministry, and I learned this back in Vermont, and I have a story to tell you about that. We had a new parishioner at St. Peter's in Bennington, Vermont, and he probably didn't feel all that connected. But we were in the middle of the winter, and there had been some vicious Vermont storms, and the roof was covered in ice and snow, and it began leaking into the organ pipes. So it was serious. It was also very dangerous, a high, steep slate roof, and he was a roofer. And he got up there and he patched the leak and got us through to the spring when we could get roofers out there. The roof was gonna need to be replaced. But if you know anything about leaky roofs, where the water's coming in isn't always where the leak is. So this took a high level of expertise. And we were all in the office maybe a week or two after that. And I thanked him for his ministry. But he didn't see it that way. He said, that's not ministry. I just fixed a hole in the roof. Yeah. I knew that that would have meaning to the people gathered here today. But there were others there gathered in the office. I mean, the office, hello, where all the ministry, you know, takes place. So we talked about that, and the people that were there talked about their ministries and how that this makes the church, helps the church function. And he took all of that in, and he was also a craftsman. And lo and behold, he ended up making this beautiful hand-carved sign that went out on the front lawn of the church for St. Peter's. It was, you know, it was carved and painted. It was absolutely beautiful. So it helped transform his awareness and understanding of what ministry is. So a beautiful outcome, but also a lesson learned that everything here, whether it's the altar guild, sprinklers, solar panels, I've got the S's going, sprinklers, solar panels, or shrubs, or simply loading or emptying the dishwasher. It's all ministry contributing to the life of this church. And I'm aware, as we all are, that we have some challenges as well. I'm aware that the ministries we once enjoyed can become draining or burdensome. Often our strengths or passions can change over time. I know for myself, I always try to pay attention to whether something feels nourishing or whether it's draining me emotionally and spiritually. Because if so, it may be time for a change. But it's important to remember that those stresses and strains are always present, whether we have a rector or not. We must be conscientious with each other and considerate of each other, especially when it comes to our ministries. If we've taken on a role or a responsibility, we need to make sure we are being attentive to that work, calling myself out here, and the people that we are working with. I need to get fingerprinted. Since January. If you're having a difficult time, please let us know. Maureen is our presiding warden. Rev Jen can perhaps offer some insight and pastoral counsel. And as many of you know, I can provide a non-judgmental and supportive listening ear. Sometimes, though, we do take one for the team. I'm not great at committees or meetings, but I agreed to serve on the parish council. And I won't go into all the reasons for that, but let's just say I said no several times before finally agreeing to take that ministry on. And I'm glad that I did. But sometimes we do make sacrifices for the sake of this community that we hold so dear. So this is where I want to tie in the opening verses from Paul's letter. This is one of those verses, folks, that needs to be imprinted in our hearts and our minds. We need to carry this one around with us and utilize it when we are under stress or pressure. The Spirit helps us in our weakness. That's a promise, right? That's a promise to us. So if we find ourselves struggling, let us remember that the Spirit is interceding for us with sighs too deep for words. But here's the kicker. We need to take that time to pray in order to become aware that we are receiving that prayer from the Spirit. And doesn't that transform our understanding of prayer? Not as something going out from us, because apparently we don't know how to pray, but as something that is coming into us from the divine. But we have to take that time to receive it. The truth is that our life together in Christ is palpable in this place. I'm not going to list all the ministries because I will leave some out, and there are ones I'm sure I don't even know about. But we hear about them in the announcements. Many of them are listed in the bulletin. We read about them in our weekly and bi-monthly benediction newsletters, which themselves are all important ministries. We experience and enact these ministries out in the community, and we're surrounded by them. They are literally wrapped around us, enveloping us right now here as we worship. And here for me then is the connection to the parable of the net from today's gospel lesson. I think at St. Ben's we do a good job of understanding and incarnating Jesus's teaching that the kingdom of heaven is like that net that was cast into the sea and catches everything in its path. Everyone and everything is part of the kingdom of heaven. We do not do the sorting here, but we understand that we are traveling together with all of it, and we are ministering to and with all of it as we go, with a focus or emphasis often on the poorer and more marginalized parts of that kingdom as we follow the teaching and example of Jesus. Another interesting thing I noticed a few weeks ago, and this is a bit confessional, but I find I've actually been making more of a concerted and deliberate effort to try and get here physically on Sunday mornings. I think when we have a rector, we can perhaps get lulled into the sense that church is going to happen whether we're here or not. But I noticed I was feeling an even greater responsibility to be here now, because if we don't show up, then the church truly won't be here. So again, this is another example of how being honest and confronting and examining ourselves and what we might perceive as a difficult time or a time of loss can actually transform our understanding and awareness of this time into gratitude and something positive with which to move forward. And finally, I just want to focus for a moment on our relationships with each other, with one another. And it was Rev Jen, actually, with what I like to call those fresh from seminary eyes, that articulated this so insightfully to me. We need to work on building our relationships with one another. When Caro was here, our relationships with each other often ran through her. She was often the link between us. But now we must work to forge those relationships with each other if we are to grow and deepen those bonds. For as we do this, we will again come to understand and remember more deeply that we are Christ-centered, not rector or priest-centered. Our ministry revolves around the living Christ. It does not depend on the presence of a rector in order to function. In fact, this is a time when the phrase, the priesthood of all believers, really swoops in and takes a hold of us. And so this is where the well-known final verse from Paul's letter, or the final verse that we read today, swoops in as well, because it's the reassurance that, we all know it, that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus, our Lord. It's that reassurance that's the reason that that passage is part of the end of life prayers that I often read, or if I'm doing a funeral for a patient who's died, that those words are in there, because it is that reassurance that nothing can separate us from that. The good news is that we're doing it. This is an amazing church. Our ministries reach far and wide into the local community and beyond. Every member is a vital part of the body of Christ. And together with God, we will not only make it through this time, but we will certainly flourish, because with God, all things are possible. Amen.